It's 7:52 here on Giant 90.9. And that can only mean one thing. Your host, Owen Pulley, is alongside Max Gilley and John Easter in HD1 Studios. And it's time for the Sports Spotlight! Back with the air horns today.
What's up?
If you are a season one listener, you know those air horns very well. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing good, doing good.
I have to say probably 98% this morning.
98%?
Yeah.
That tie would have boosted you up to 100%.
Yeah, I nixed the tie at the last minute, so. Yeah. But it's all right. It's the way it goes.
For you listeners out there, no Lucas McKee today, so John Easter, WBDG general manager, had to step in.
I invited myself.
Invited yourself.
And they said I could come on.
Yeah, of course, always.
So thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to get right into it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're
so excited. I've never been on the radio before, ever.
Never been on the radio?
No.
This is your first time? Well, welcome to the radio.
It's awesome.
Amazing experience.
Yes.
So we're going to get right into it.
By the way, did you know Sunday was National Radio Day?
Sunday? That would have been August. I remember it's August 20th, so
the 20th.
Saturday.
Saturday was National Radio Day.
Saturday was National Radio Day.
Yeah. Happy belated National Radio Day, everyone out there.
I don't have the clapping.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're going to get into it with some NFL, some MLB, a little bit of college football. Some Colts news cuts are today for the NFL, so, or for the Colts at least, down to 80 man. So
there'll be some pink slips in lockers when they open them up. Is that how it works?
I don't know.
I know it does in like Major League Baseball. It kind of works that way.
I thought they just sent you like to the GM's office and they just had a conversation with you. I'm pretty sure that's like the entire premise of Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how it goes. But we're going to get into a little bit of that later. So right into MLB news, more Cardinals news today. Big night for the Cardinals yesterday. Jordan Montgomery pitched for the Cardinals, went 9 innings, 1 hit, 0 earned runs, 0 walks, 7 strikeouts in 99 pitches, which is crazy to go.
It's like unheard of in today's Major League Baseball. It seems like, you know, you have like a pitcher for every batter almost sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, averaging 11 pitches.
But sometimes.
Right. I think they have the new three batter rule where you have to face 3 batters, but they used to have it. I mean, they'd have a lefty specialist come and face 2 guys and then leave.
Right.
But yeah, averaging 11
lefty
pitches.
Lefty specialist, right? Did you get that?
Yeah, that's funny. Because I'm a lefty.
Do you know it was National Left-Hander Day?
I did see that.
Yeah.
66% of our sports spotlight is left-handed.
Really?
Yeah. Max and I.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Is Lucas left-handed?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I didn't know you were left-handed, Max.
No. I don't typically just wear that with pride. I don't come up and left-handed shirts.
I have one shirt. I got it as like a gift, like Christmas, whatever. It's like, it's so at Disney, we went to Disney like 2 years ago, and they had like this stand where it was like left-handed emporium, they called it, or whatever. And you get like, my parents got me a shirt without me knowing and said, it's a left-hander thing. You wouldn't get it.
I eat steak left-handed.
You eat steak left-handed?
Because you know a lot of people, they'll cut the steak with their right hand
or
whatever.
I do cut.
And then they'll switch back and use it. No, it's not that waste time. Just,
I subconsciously switch, like, without even thinking. But yeah, I cut with. Max, what do you cut with?
I just usually cut. I haven't actually paid attention to it, so I would assume it's the left hand.
Record it.
Yeah, now I'm going to be paranoid every time. I'm like, which way am I going to do it?
Yeah, but you probably cut with your left hand. A lot of people cut with their dominant hand.
I do with my butt. I just, right in with the left.
Yeah, and another news with, so there's steak eating for you. How to properly eat a steak per WBDG.
That's right.
So with more baseball news and
no
the
A1.
Cardinals.
No A1.
No A1. A good steak should never
you
need
never
steak
need
sauce.
It. That's what they always are like. Do you need steak sauce? And I'm always like, I hope not.
Yeah, if it's good, I'll let you know in about 2 seconds.
That's right.
I'm going to take a bite.
It's like, okay, I need A1.
Yeah, but not too much because then it gets like really sour and tangy and bitter. But with the Cardinals, Albert Pujols inching closer to that 700 home run mark. 693 was hit last night against the Cubs. That brings him 7 away from 700. And obviously, he'll be the 4th player to hit 700 home runs besides behind, I should say, Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, and Babe Ruth. So three great names in company.
I mean, does he get an asterisk on his, though? Because, you know, Barry Bonds is kind of like, even though he's number one, people are always like, no, he's not.
I think the thing with Barry Bonds is he would have hit 700 no matter what. I mean, a lot of players that take that take PEDs, they're like not great players. Barry Bonds was already great.
Did you see him before?
Oh, yeah, I've seen him. I like the SNL skit with Kenan Thompson where like he's got like the big hands and big shoulders. But like, yeah, he did change a lot, but I feel like he was already a great player. Maybe not 700 worth, maybe like he still would have hit a lot.
I think it's silly. I heard that argument this morning. There should be like their own part of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
The juicers area.
Right. No. No, it's part of baseball history, so.
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
He should be. You know, Roger Clemens, a lot of those guys Pete from Rose. That era.
I mean, Pete Rose wasn't from that era, but I think
that's a whole different topic for another day.
Yeah.
I'm not in the popular opinion part of the on Pete Rose.
Yeah.
There's a big sign in every clubhouse that says, what? Don't bet on baseball.
Right.
And he bet on baseball.
That's a whole other can of worms to open.
Yep.
Max, what's your opinion on Barry Bonds being in the Hall of Fame?
Open the can of worms there.
No, we're closing it. We're closing it back up. What's your opinion on Barry Bonds not being in the Hall of Fame?
I've still been saying that they should be a Hall of Famer. Just obviously, they won't talk about it during the ceremony, but like, you just can't forget that part of baseball. And I understand why, but like, just even if it's on the plaque, just add something about it, but just don't leave them out.
I think a lot of times, especially museums, anytime you have controversial issues in a museum or something, there should be proper context put with it. But, I mean, the accomplishments, Barry Bonds had a lot of accomplishments, even though a lot of them may have been related to PEDs, but he wasn't the only one.
Right. So, he wasn't the only guy in the MLB.
You know, at that time, that was kind of like the normal course of action was to try to, you know, avoid detection of PEDs and things. But if you look at other Hall of Fames, like the NFL, there are guys that use steroids in the Hall of Fame, the NFL, you know, that's documented. That was something along that time that was a part of the story. So I think that certainly if you're worth your salt as a organization, you should definitely put it in context, put it in proper context.
Yeah, I think that it's a situation that we can't just ignore and brush under the carpet or rug. And like I said, just ignore it. It was a decade and a half of baseball history.
But I think part of the problem...
Into my ringer is on something like that.
Mine probably is too. Part of the problem, though, is the way Hall of Famers are selected for the Major League, for MLB. You know, when you let the writers kind of dictate what happens. I mean, a lot of those writers have like the you know, they're such traditionalists and things like that. I don't think you'll ever see some of those individuals get in there because they think they're protecting the game or whatever until they change the way you get into the Hall of Fame.
I mean, 70% of those writers were probably at the first baseball game ever. And most of those guys are, I'm pretty sure, it was either Derek Jeter or Mariano Rivera didn't get 100% of the votes. It was one of those two. One of them did. I get those two mixed up all the time.
How could that happen?
I don't know, but I know one of them did not get 100%
votes. I know it was probably, I'm pretty sure it was Derek Jeter.
I think Mariano Rivera was unanimous.
I believe Derek didn't, and I remember everyone was like freaking out about that.
Yeah.
That just proves that it's a flawed system.
Yeah.
Yeah, compared to the NFL, you had Peyton Manning, who was 5 minutes, and then, like, they sit at a horseshoe table, and then they give the reason why they should be in the Hall of Fame, and one guy stood up and said, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
He sat down, and then he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way you have to argue for people. I know Mike Chappell, who is a great writer here in Indianapolis that's written the Colts beat forever, he, like, went to bat for Edgerrin James. Made the case to get Edgerrin into the Hall of Fame, which, you know, is a no-brainer, by the way. It's WBDG Indianapolis, Giant 90.9. So it's kind of a no-brainer. But, you know, different Hall of Fames do it differently.
Yeah. And another big name, Ken Griffey Jr., wasn't unanimous in the Hall of Fame. Just thought about that, which is crazy because you get a player like Ken Griffey Jr., not unanimous. I mean, he's still in the Hall of Fame, but
right,
not unanimous, which is crazy.
I mean, that'd be like the Sports Spotlight Hall of Fame not making Jackson White a unanimous pick.
I wouldn't vote for him. I think if we put if we put Goga on the list, he wouldn't vote for him.
Oh, no.
Goga wouldn't vote for him.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for baseball news. We're going to go to a quick break and then come back and talk a little bit about the NFL and the Colts for week one upcoming in, I believe, only a couple weeks.
Yeah.
NFL. Or
got one preseason game left, and then you go to the real games.
Yeah, the real games start soon, so we're going to go to a quick break here. You're listening to Sports Spotlight on Indy's Giant 90.9.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
What makes essential workers essential?
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
Essential workers help our nation run. You're in every corner of our country and come from all over the globe. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. Visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Mike Rowe here with a gentle reminder that civilization is held together by pipes, wires, and cables. It's true. There are over 5 million miles of gas lines, power lines, fiber optic lines, water lines, and sewer lines all buried beneath your feet, and every 60 seconds, somebody digs into one. Look, if you're thinking about digging around, do yourself a favor and call 811 first just to find out what's down there. Trust me, you don't want to find out the hard way. Call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more info.
Hello and welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. Indy's Giant 9.9. My name is Owen Pulley alongside Max Gilley and John Easter. We're back here. Going to talk a little bit about the NFL for the Colts cuts are today. We talked about that pre-episode really before we really got started, but they got to get down to 80 today. And the big question is with Sam Ehlinger, do you keep him at QB3 or do you cut him for more depth on some other positions?
I think that it's just pretty much time to cut him. I mean, I don't think we've seen too much from him. There's really no reason to keep him, and I know we've been talking about it. You need to have more depth and more roster spots available, so that's why I've been on the cut Ehlinger camp.
Of course, I think when you look at the Colts, you're thinking, well, can we keep Sam Ehlinger and still survive? You know, can we survive without another one of those on the roster? Because that's what you're doing when you've got Nick Foles, when you've got Matt Ryan as your starter and your backup. Those are two solid quarterbacks. So can you keep a Sam Ehlinger knowing that you're going to be removing depth from somewhere else on the roster? Ehlinger's a talent. I think we've seen that. But then again, everybody gets excited about how he's played in the preseason. He's playing usually against the other team's third string. He's not right. Playing against the starters. And a lot of those guys aren't going to be on rosters. So I think that's important to remember as well. But Ehlinger has shown some things in the preseason. Certainly, I think he's shown that he can play in the NFL. If there is a roster spot, I might consider carrying three quarterbacks. But the question is that really going to happen in this day and age in the NFL? If you can't justify a roster spot, then no.
Yeah, he went 9 for 11 with 136 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions in that preseason game against the Lions. Like you said, though, going up against third-string guys on the Lions. So I think that he could be a guy, like you said, free up a spot if there is one to keep him. But if there's not, I think he just has to go in total there. But it'll be a tough decision coming today if he gets that, like we were talking about, that pink slip in the
locker.
In the locker. Yeah. But, yeah, the Colts are one of those teams where you have Matt Ryan, who's getting up there in age, but you also have the backup Nick Foles, who's, I can't exactly remember how old he is, but he's one of those guys, he's not up there in age.
He's been around a while.
He's been around a while, but he's not, I'm going to look that up real quick. See how old he is.
I think he's mid-30s.
He's 33.
Yeah.
So, I think he's still got a couple more years left in him. The Colts still trying to find that quarterback. Ever since Andrew Luck retired, they've had one starter each different year since 2017. But they're just trying to find the guy. Frank Reich hasn't had 2 years with a quarterback.
Yeah.
So, that'll be big to find out what they'll do.
I mean, the big thing is, couple of years ago, like last year, we would have needed to have a definite good third string because with all the COVID restrictions. But now that that's over, there's really no reason to once again keep Sam.
I think also the question is if you like Sam Ehlinger and you know, I mean, Matt Ryan's been pretty durable. Nick Foles hasn't. Right. Nick Foles has had some injury issues. So if you run into a situation where, let's say something were to happen to Matt Ryan, hopefully it doesn't, but if something were to happen and he wasn't able to play, Nick Foles then becomes your starting quarterback. Now, maybe you go back and you need a Sam Ehlinger. But, you know, are you betting on that versus keeping another offensive lineman, keeping another defensive back, somebody that, you know, the Colts have needed every year? They've had lots of injuries on the offensive line. You know, it seems like somebody, Ryan Kelly, somebody always gets dinged at some point in the season. So you've got to have players at other positions. And it could be that a QB3 never sees the field. All they do is just carry a clipboard around. And can you justify that over carrying another offensive lineman or carrying a defensive back or a linebacker, somebody that you're going to see, or somebody that's going to contribute on special teams too? I mean, that's a big question, and not necessarily the kicker or the punter. We're talking about somebody to go downfield and hit somebody on special teams, or you know, even an extra wide receiver, something like that with the Colts. Can you justify keeping QB3 over one of those players? And I think that's probably a discussion that is pretty easy one for the Colts. I do think Ehlinger, maybe they can sign him to the practice squad, keep him around that way. So we'll see what they decide to do. I know Jim Irsay is big on Sam Ehlinger. We heard him kind of stick up for him in an interview where he was talking about Ehlinger. I know the fans love Sam Ehlinger. You know, there's even some talk that he should be the number two over Nick Foles. That's not going to happen.
No.
Not when you sign Nick Foles to the contract you sign him to be the backup here in Indianapolis. That's not going to happen. So I think that it's a question that Chris Ballard and the team over there on 56th Street have a pretty easy answer to. I think you've got to let either Sam go or put him on the practice squad, something like that, if you want to keep him around. But maybe there's another team out there that will look at him and say, you know what, we saw some talent here. Maybe we'll sign him. So maybe you make the defensive move and keep a QB3. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the practice squad is probably going to be the best bet for Sam Ehlinger to stay with the Colts. Like you were saying, he's either cut or practice squad. No QB3. QB3 really isn't an option for the Colts for a roster spot. But yeah, I think that he's one of those guys that Indianapolis loves, Jim Irsay loves. So it could be up to, maybe Jim Irsay has a say in it, whispering in the Ballard's ear.
Yeah, but that's not Jim Irsay's style.
Right.
Except for Carson Wentz. He was like, no, we are not keeping Carson Wentz.
That is true.
He was like, no, I don't care. Frank, we're not keeping Carson Wentz, okay? It is not happening. Yeah, but I really want to climb the mountain with him. No, we are not keeping him.
We are not keeping Carson Wentz.
No.
Now he's in Washington.
I am going to poison that well. And he did. He was like, no, I am not paying this guy. I don't care what you have to do. Chris Ballard's like, oh, well, okay, I'll turn him into Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, watched it. You want to pay a salary too? You want to pay Carson Wentz a salary?
I think it worked out good for Matt Ryan.
You want a wedgie too, Commanders? Here you go. That's kind of what Chris Ballard did there,
right?
In getting rid of Carson. Now people in Washington are like, why'd we get this guy?
I mean, I was thinking the same thing when they got Carson Wentz to the Colts. Why'd we get this guy?
And that's why no one showed up to, like, the first day of Commanders camp.
I mean, it made sense in a way. The Colts, I mean, the trade was not a bad trade when you go back and look at it. If you, knowing what you knew now, you know, Carson Wentz certainly had questions coming out of Philly. But the Colts potentially gave up only a second-round draft pick for him. And he turned out that he played okay last year. You know, I was content to kind of sit with him if we had to, because he played okay last year. He certainly, his biggest problem though, I think, is in the clutch. You know, people will point out his touchdown interception ratio and something like that, but those interceptions came at key times. You know, they came in that the Titans game. They came in the Buccaneers game, I think.
Right. You know, those,
and then of course the way he finished the season, where you just needed a win to get the playoffs, and he couldn't beat the Raiders, and he couldn't beat the Jaguars. I mean, those are two. The Raiders, okay, we'll give you that one. Raiders were decent last year, but the Jaguars, and you stink. I mean, that can't happen, and I think that's why Carson Wentz is no longer an Indianapolis Colt. If he wins one of those games, goes maybe wins a playoff game, the narrative is totally different on Carson Wentz. As it stands, though, he didn't. You know, I always say if I had like 150 pounds less and more hair, I could be a male model, but I'm not. So that's the way it goes. It just didn't happen. So unfortunately for Carson Wentz, he ends up now with Washington, and we'll see what happens there. I wish him well. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't dislike Carson Wentz. I think he made some selfish decisions maybe last year.
Yeah.
That did end up impacting the team. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there.
But I think that with Wentz, with the clutch situation, he always wanted to make – he didn't want to make L play. He wanted to make V play.
Right.
Which I think he struggled with immensely is that he never got the play down or – he did occasionally, but not really in the clutch when it was needed. Like you said, that Las Vegas game and that Jacksonville game,
and you know,
the Tampa Bay game.
Andrew Luck used to get criticized for wanting to make the play all the time. So that's not a bad criticism of a guy, but it is when you saw how long sometimes he took to get rid of the ball. Whereas I think we saw it in the preseason game where Matt Ryan played a bunch. It looked like he was going to get sacked. Matt Ryan just went down. He was like, I am not going to be a hero. If this play is done, I'm going to take the sack and I'm going to fight the next down. We saw that even in the Ben Davis game on Friday. Can't remember if it was Juju or Isaiah that they just kind of went down, took the sack. Yeah. And I think that you have to have that mindset sometimes. It's like, okay, I could try to make a hair on fire play where I'm throwing across my body and off balance and – you know, I got 10 guys coming at me, but is this going to get picked off? Is this going to, you know, what if I just take a 5-yard loss, then I can fix it the next play when things are maybe a little better, right? Or I could fix it on the next drive. You know, we live to punt instead of maybe giving up the ball here if I fumble it. I think that those are the kinds of mature decisions that you see Matt Ryan, Peyton Manning, Philip Rivers, to a degree. You see those guys make those decisions. You don't see that decision-making process out of Carson Wentz. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's a Commander now.
Yeah, that was
which
definitely
is still
one
weird
of things
to say.
Yeah, it is. Commanders. I like that name.
Should have kept the football team.
Yeah,
football team.
I liked that too. It was just so easy.
The Washington team. Football team.
WFT.
Exactly. I still call them Washington occasionally, like not even thinking about it. And then the Commanders, I mean, it's been 2 years as the Washington football team, so it'll be like, yeah, Washington. And then like,
I still love how they just got it revealed by some helicopter that was just going by the stadium the day before they were announcing their whole team thing. And then they leaked it online the day before too. That just proves how
Very Washington
that organization
moment.
Is ran.
Yeah.
Yeah. Washington moment. But that's really going to do it for our NFL news. Getting into some college football. Let's get right into it. Notre Dame kicking it off Saturday, September 3rd at 4:30 p.m. against the number 2 ranked Ohio State. That'll be a big game for Notre Dame to really start off the season. Their season isn't really a tough schedule, you could call it. They have Ohio State week 1. Later in the season, they have Clemson. But other than that, they really only have those two games. They have Ohio State, like I said, ranked number 2 right now. They have BYU ranked number 25. They have Clemson number 4 and USC number 14. So only those four, as of right now, four ranked games.
Yeah, and you never know how it's going to shake out. Every year you see a team or two that was not forecasted to be good that turns out to be good. ACC is a conference is not spectacular this year. I think that hurts Notre Dame since they play with that ACC. I mean, they have a deal with the ACC.
That COVID deal that they had when...
Right, or then that may change. You know, there's lots of speculation about where Notre Dame may end up in all this college conference shifting. You know, USC and UCLA maybe still, I guess, coming to the Big Ten. I thought that was a done deal, and I saw an article a couple of days ago that it was like, well, maybe not. So you've got that whole situation hanging out there with the Big Ten. But the interesting thing, I think, for Notre Dame is that every year Notre Dame is kind of born on third base, to put it in a baseball, because they're Notre Dame.
Right.
I mean, they are Notre Dame, and people every year, and I'm not bashing Notre Dame. I like to watch the Irish. Got the new coach with Coach Freeman. So I think that there are a lot of opportunities for Notre Dame to make some movement in the polls and maybe get into that college football playoff at the end of the year. We'll see what they do. You start off and you beat Ohio State, nobody questions where you are. You know, certainly with Ohio State as good as they're projected to be this year, you start off and there's certainly no question if you beat Ohio State. But college football getting started this weekend.
Yeah, there's games coming on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I believe Purdue plays on Friday. And I believe IU plays on Saturday as well with Notre Dame. So
IU does not play Notre Dame.
Or not Notre Dame. Not yeah. playing Notre Dame, but on the same day as Notre Dame.
They do play Notre Dame, though, at some point. I think it's, what, 2030 something?
Probably something.
It's too far away. I never pay attention to that.
The fourth graders now listening will be playing in
that game. I love that. Sometimes you get those news releases out of college athletic departments. Like, in 2071, we've signed to play Galaxy State, which isn't even existing yet.
They're on the moon.
Their fans are always so excited, too. They're like, yes, this is what we've been waiting for as a program. And I'm like, this is a decade away.
Right.
No need to be excited now.
The first game on the dark side of the moon.
We're playing on Jupiter.
That's right.
But yeah, so I think it'll be a good season for Notre Dame. That Ohio State game, I think week one will really determine how they are going to stand in the AP polls at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you get that early game, you get that early test against Ohio State, and if you do well, you know, but what a start for Coach Freeman, right? I mean, he coached the bowl game last year, right? But other than that, you know, this is your first regular season game at Notre Dame, and it's against Ohio State.
Right. I mean, it was after Brian Kelly left to coach LSU after Ed Orgeron left LSU.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers.
You're Tigers.
Tigers. No. Tigers.
I tried and it didn't work, so I'm not going to do it again. Clearly, I cannot pretend that I got a Southern accent a day after being in LSU.
I like the Joey Molinaro. Have you ever heard of that guy? He's Indianapolis comedian. He did a video with, it was like, Brian Kelly going down to LSU, and he's like talking, and he's like, oh, I love being down in LSU. And he's like, you were just in Indiana like 2 days ago.
Well, there is that well documented video of Brian Kelly all of a sudden having a Southern accent.
Oh, yeah.
And he, you know,
Family.
Well, yes, right. We're making our move down here. It's like, Brian Kelly,
You were in Northern Indiana.
You were at Cincinnati and Notre Dame.
Right, right.
And I don't even think you're from the South.
No, I'm pretty sure he's from, like, the New England area.
Right. So it's like, probably. What's the deal?
Yeah.
I guess they will do anything to recruit those players.
Well, I mean, he did the video with the one player on, like, the 360 camera.
I know.
He's, like, dancing.
And then he didn't even get the guy.
Right. And then he went to like, Clemson.
Yeah.
Is that Clemson or Bama, something like that.
Something like that. Bama ranked number one this year, as always.
Not a Brian Kelly fan. Never have been.
I thought he was an all right coach.
He's an all right coach, but there's more to it than just being an all right coach.
Right. What are you off the sidelines?
Yeah. To?
IU football kicking off this Friday, so I was incorrect. This Friday, they will take on Illinois at Indiana. Big game there, starting off with a Big Ten game. East versus West Conference. Big Ten East versus Big Ten West. And after that, they'll take on Idaho, Western Kentucky, and then their first ranked opponent of the season, 23 Cincinnati.
I thought they were scrapping the divisions in the Big Ten.
I do not know at this point. They said so Maybe. Much.
I don't know. I didn't.
Maybe it was after this year, but
I haven't seen anything on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Friday, September 2nd, check out that game. Indiana, I think we'll have another Indiana year. There's not much else to say. Being in there.
You know, once again, I mean, let's see. They were considering it. They were considering scrapping the divisions. Big Ten considering scrapping division format. So they're still must be considering it. But, you know, it's like you look at the divisions and IU gets in with Ohio State and Penn State, you know, it's like pretty much every Big Ten power, Michigan State, yeah. It's like IU's in with all of them. And then the West is much simpler for a team like Wisconsin to kind of roll through it. But
oh, we play Nebraska this week.
Yeah. Well, Nebraska, I mean, that's a program that should be a lot better than what it is. You know, they're certainly a blue blood of college football. With what Tom Osborne and people before him did at Nebraska. Coach Frost hanging on to his credit, but has not had a spectacular time at Nebraska. But when you look at IU, a lot of people want to complain about Tom Allen, who has 26 wins through his first two seasons at IU. Go back and look how, or through his first five seasons, sorry. Go back and look how many other coaches have 26 wins in their first 5 years at IU. And then tell me that Tom Allen has not been a success at IU. So just do that. I'll wait for you. I'm very biased in this situation, I admit. Tom Allen is a friend, friend of WBDG. But go back and look at how many other coaches won 26 games in their first 5 years at IU. And then we'll talk about Tom Allen, whether he's been a success or not at IU. He has elevated the program and has given it some expectations. It used to be like, oh, well, if IU wins five or six games and slips into a bowl, that's a good year. That's not the expectation anymore, and that's because Tom Allen has raised that expectation with recruiting and other things. He's just had, and I know he would never use it as an excuse, he's had so much bad luck with injuries the last few years. I mean, can't keep a quarterback healthy. And if you can't keep your quarterback healthy, that's going to significantly diminish your ability to win in the Big Ten, because it's like the MIC, it's like any high school conference, the HCC, everybody's good. You know, you're all, it doesn't matter if you're Illinois is a good football team. So, because Illinois is getting Division I players, you know, these are, if you're playing in the Big Ten, you're a D1 player. So
you're a Power 5 school.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Indiana, I would say, is in that league yet, but, you know, certainly I think that it's extremely important to remember that IU's expectations are where they are because of Tom Allen and because of what he's done at IU, and because of, well, we'll give a little credit to Kevin Wilson too before him, because, you know, he certainly raised the bar at IU. It's just, it's very difficult to make any movement in the Big Ten because everybody else is so good. And, you know, team like Minnesota, You look at some of those teams that were in the middle of the Big Ten that have moved up. You look at how they've done it, and it's been because they find these coaches that raise the bar. Then you've got teams, you know, that got the traditional powerhouses in the Big Ten. You know, what's a good season for IU? That's what I would ask folks. If IU slips into a bowl, that's a good season, especially with the schedule that they play. So the 8-1 year, the COVID year that they had, that was out of the norm for IU.
Yeah, they had a good 2020 season.
And I'm not saying lower your expectations, because I think that's not right either, but IU has the expectations it has because of the success that Coach Allen has had there.
And they're one of those teams that could have a good season with Tom Allen. And it's hard to talk bad about a team with a guy like Tom Allen. I mean, he's such a nice person. And
nice guys, right, in college football are few and far between. And I'm not saying that to be cynical or whatever, but I think when you hear some of the things that Tom Allen says, he means them. So when he says LEO, love each other, he means it. And I think that there's value to having a coach like that. And the question is, with IU, can you have a coach like that, win 6-7 games a year, pay him what they're paying him? Because they are paying him some money now. This isn't the situation where he's the lowest paid coach in the Big Ten anymore. That's not the question. He's earned the money he's getting. So, you know, you have a new president at IU as well. Every once in a while you get a new trustee. So you just wonder, with the basketball program too, now trying to make a resurgence, that certainly figures in. You're not as dependent as you maybe once were on football to kind of make, I mean, football pays a lot of bills. People don't realize that too. Football pays a lot of bills for the athletic department because you're getting 35,000, 40,000, 50,000 people into Memorial Stadium. That pays a lot of bills. So it's important to have a good football program and to have some excitement around it. But what is the standard of success at IU now? That's my question. If it's 8 or 9 wins every year, that's not going to happen at IU. I'm sorry. That's just not. It's just not going to happen with the IU football program.
The big thing there, we cannot have another season like last year, right, and we cannot have that continue. If that continues, might have to look at possibly having Allen go.
Right.
But it was just a one-year thing. Everyone likes to freak out so early.
And again, how many injuries did IU have last
exactly
year?
Exactly.
They were like their fourth-string quarterback.
Key injuries. I mean, it was like every week. It was like key receiver down, key tight end out. You know, it's just like they had disciplinary problems. They had everything that could go wrong went wrong, really.
Yeah, so that's really going to do it for our show today as the 8:30 bell rings here at Ben Davis High School. This has been the Sports Spotlight on Indy's Giant.